we present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Briers with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Gene Anderson, and Dennis Ramsden. Episode 13, Brief Offer.
Very good cake, Miss Mother.
Do you think so, Roger?
It's crummy.
Well, of course, darling, cakes are always crummy.
No, not crummy. Scrummy.
Oh, scrummy. I don't believe I've heard you use that word since you were a little boy. It's rather sweet.
No, it's just right.
You're rather sweet. Getting such pleasure out of a piece of cake. Girls don't bake their own cakes anymore, do they?
Do they?
Well, for example, does Sally?
You know, I have the faintest idea.
I've always been in favour of long engagements. There are so many important things to find out about each other. I expect you'll be rushing into marriage like they all do now.
Mother, I'm not even engaged yet.
You're not? After all that fuss?
She turned me down.
She didn't. She must be out of her mind.
Mother, Sally won't get engaged till she's convinced I'm not hankering after joy anymore.
But that's unreasonable.
Is it?
You can't stop people hankering, especially married men. If it wasn't joy, you'd be hankering after a bit of homemade cake or something.
I don't think Sally would mind that so much.
You're not seeing joy now, are you?
Well,
Roger.
I did happen to run into her yesterday.
Happen?
Well, pure chance.
And what did you do? No, don't tell me. I can imagine. Darling, it's not very fair on the girl, is it? Giving her the wrong idea.
The other way around, Mother. She gives me wrong ideas. But don't worry. I resisted temptation, I bowed politely and passed on.
Good heavens, it's working.
Why shouldn't it be?
Hello? Yes, Mrs. Thursby speaking. Oh. Well, didn't I send you a check? Oh, dear, how naughty of me. Yes, of course I'll see to it the next time I'm writing checks. Sooner than that. I know it's a little bit outstanding. Oh, as long as that. Oh, how time flies. Yes, I will. So kind of you to ring me up and remind me. Goodbye. But they all keep reminding me, as if I could forget.
Mother, you're not broke again.
Well, I am a little bit, just for the moment.
But why? What have you been doing with your money?
Oh, I'm afraid I was rather silly. I lent some to Elsie again.
Elsie, how much?
£400.
400?
Yes, it was for shoes.
What?
At least that's what I thought, only it was her Scots accent.
Mother, what are you talking about?
Well, Elsie McPhee, darling. I thought she said she needed money to pay her bootmakers, but it was really bookmakers. And now the poor thing's lost some more, so she can't pay me back like she promised.
£400?
Well, never mind, dear. It only means the telephone and the gas may be a bit cut off.
A bit cut off? No, not the telephone.
Well, I'm afraid so. It's only £30 odd, but there you are.
But it's awful. Someone might want to get hold of me. Alex got this number for messages if I'm not at home.
Perhaps they'll forget about me. They must have lots of others to deal with. If they cut off the gas, I could always get an electric cooker. If they don't cut off the electricity. Unless you could let me have some little money, darling.
Me?
Yes, I thought you might pay back some of those tens and twenties I keep handing out.
I didn't know they were loans.
Oh, they weren't, darling, but they are now.
Mother, how would I possibly pay you back?
You've got your little bit of income.
This about covers my little bit of rent and my little bit of food.
Oh, and I suppose your fees pay for the luxuries.
Fee? Luxuries? Well, there's my car, of course, I suppose. I could sell that, I suppose, yeah. Or to fetch nearly 400.
Oh, no, Roger. No, I won't hear of it.
Why not?
You love that old car. If you got rid of it, you'd only hanker after it. You've got quite enough hankering on your plate at the moment. It's still working. Perhaps they have forgotten me. Hello? Who's there? Oh, hello. Oh, how nice to hear from you. Yes, he is. Hold on a minute. It's for you, Roger.
Who is it?
Alfred Merrivale.
What's he want? As if I couldn't guess. Hello? Hello. Oh, good evening, sir. What can I do for you? Oh,
Sorry to burst in on you without warning, Sally.
That's all right. I haven't got a man hidden in my bedroom.
Where is he then, eh? I didn't mean that. I'm in a bit of a state.
So I see.
Something terribly important I've got to ask you.
What is it?
Can you make cake?
As a matter of fact, I can.
Thank heavens. That's one thing I won't be hankering after.
Roger, take a deep breath, count up to five, and then tell me what it's all about.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Joy Merrivale.
Ah, hankering there, are you?
No, it's not really Joy at all. It's her uncle. He wants me to go round after dinner and talk about a brief.
Lucky old you.
But Joy may be there.
And if she is, you might stop hankering and go into action again.
Well, you know how it is. One thing leads to another. No, I won't. I won't. I swear I'll be light and friendly. No more. I'll treat her like a maiden aunt.
Well, she won't thank you for that.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. I can't help it. She must learn to keep her hankering to herself like everyone else.
If you say so.
I do.
Then what's the problem?
Should I accept the brief?
You can't afford to go turning them down, can you?
I can't afford anything, actually. But look, if I take it, he'll expect me to go on seeing Joy, won't he?
Will he? You better ask him.
I couldn't. He wouldn't admit it anyway. So what do you think?
I think you should have a bit more confidence in yourself. I know he first sent you briefs because of Joy, just as Peter Sharp sent you briefs because of me. But Peter was very impressed by the way you kept it warm for Grimes last week.
I said, was he?
And if anything else comes along that you could cope with, I'm sure you'll get it.
Marvellous.
Well, then why shouldn't the same be true for Mr. Merrivale? You did jolly well in that bigamy case for him, didn't you?
Well, it was rather good.
Well, then, what is this new case?
I don't know yet.
Oh, it'll only be a motoring offence in a police court, or a claim in a county court, or something like that. You can do that sort of thing now as well as anyone, can't you?
Well, perhaps not quite as well as the Attorney General.
But just as well as anyone of your own standing. Anyone who'd accept the same fee.
Oh, better than anyone like that.
So why shouldn't you assume you're being offered this case on your merits? Because he knows he'll get it done cheaply and well.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I should have thought of it myself. He might have given me one job to try and sweeten me up for his niece, or even two. But he wouldn't go on and on bribing me with briefs if I wasn't any good, would he?
It would be rather odd behaviour for a respectable old solicitor, wouldn't it?
Most peculiar. Almost unethical, wouldn't you say?
Almost.
Sally, you're marvellous. I shall accept the brief. I shall. I'll accept it. And Joy can go on, hankering. I'll use the fee to wine you and dine you. Come here, darling. Kiss me.
Uncle Alfie. Alfie.
What? Oh, Joy, yes. What is it?
Sorry to wake you, darling, but you mustn't drop off over your brandy tonight.
Sorry, my dear. Heavy day. Not so young as I was.
Never mind, old man. You can go back to Ziz as soon as you've finished with Roger.
Ah, yes, your Master Thursby.
Yes, at least he will be mine soon.
Joy, darling, are you sure this is what you want?
Quite sure.
But this way? Are you sure he won't resent it? I would.
But you're not Roger. Don't worry. I know how to keep him happy. Oh, I expect that's him. I'll have a little session with him in the drawing room first. Don't go off to sleep again.
I won't.
Bless you, darling. Darling Roger.
So you are here, then?
You weren't expecting me.
Your uncle didn't mention it.
Then it's a lovely surprise for you, isn't it?
It's always a pleasure to see an old friend.
Oh, darling. Don't be so stuffy. Come over here.
I'm quite comfortable where I am.
Then I'll have to go over there now. Kiss me. Not like that. I'm not your maiden aunt.
You are for this purpose.
Don't be silly, darling. Kiss me properly.
No, thank you.
You're not sulking still.
I never sulk.
Then kiss me.
I'd rather not.
Liar.
No, I didn't.
Why not?
But one thing leads to the other.
I know, bliss. put your arms around me.
No, I can't. I won't.
Then I'll do it first.
Joy, stop. Have you no shame?
None at all. Isn't it lucky?
Please don't.
Again.
More.
Not now, darling.
Why not?
One thing leads to another.
I know, it's lovely.
But you've got to see my uncle.
Let him wait.
No, he might go to sleep again. I'll take you along now. Oh, darling, isn't it marvellous about this brief?
What? Well, what's marvellous about a motoring offence or a claim in a county court?
Didn't he tell you on the telephone?
No, what? A bit better than that, is it?
A bit better. It's a chance of a lifetime.
What is it?
You know Bagley's, the sausage people?
Of course, everybody does.
Well, Uncle Alfie's their solicitor, and apparently someone's been copying their sausages or something. And they're bringing this huge action. I believe it's called a patent action.
No. It's called a patent action.
Yes, Uncle Alfie always says that, but I call it patent.
I wish you wouldn't.
Everyone I know does, except lawyers.
Then everyone except lawyers is wrong. Are wrong. Is wrong.
All right.
No, John.
Yes, Roger. I looked it up. You can say either.
You sure?
Well, sure. But if you want me to say patents, I will. I'll say anything you like, darling. I'll do anything you like.
Think and kiss me. No, don't! 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 I say, look, the kissing has got to stop.
Just for the moment.
What, forever?
No, don't be silly, darling. Only while you're with my uncle.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
What is?
This Bagley sausage case.
I don't know anything about patents. Oh, darling, you're so modest.
Look, I couldn't do a case like this.
You won't be alone, Roger. There are three other counsel besides you. Sir George Pratt, for one.
Pratt?
Uncle Alfie says he's the chief man on the subject. And then there are two others who are nearly as good. So you'll get a little help, you see. Come along, darling. Uncle Alfie will tell you all about it. If he hasn't dropped off again. Oh, good. He hasn't. Uncle Alfred! Here's Roger.
Roger, my dear boy, come along in. So good of you to spare the time. Let me give you a glass of brandy. Run along, Joy. We have business to discuss.
Yes, Uncle. Certainly, Uncle. Of course, Uncle.
She's a good girl. Knows when to efface herself. But she's always there when she's wanted.
And vice versa.
Not sure I know what you mean.
Well, I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, you're quite a wit. All right for you, is it?
What?
The brandy, Roger.
Oh, yes, thanks. The brandy, Roger's fine. No, I mean, the brandy's fine, Roger. No, the brandy isn't fine, brandy.
Yeah. You have a peculiarly lucid way of expressing yourself, Roger.
Thank you, Miss Merriman.
Now, my dear boy, I hope you'll forgive the informality of this meeting, but now that you're almost one of the family, I hope I may say that...
Mr. Merriman, I'm
yeah,
not...
Roger,
not,
Roger, I think you'll do very well at the bar, but there's one thing I think I ought to tell you. Never interrupt the judge when he's speaking. That requires practice, of course, and you can start by practicing on me. Now, dear boy, I want your help, your personal help.
Well, Miss Merriman...
There you go again. Sentences do not simply consist of words. They consist of words and pauses. And sometimes the pause is more important than the words. I had not finished what I was going to say. I was only pausing.
Well, I quite understand.
You do not quite understand, or you wouldn't have interrupted again. That was another pause. Right, now, I want to have a word with you personally before taking official steps. It concerns an important patent action we have for Bagley's.
Yes, Joy told me.
Yeah, good.
But I don't know anything about patents.
Yeah, I'm sure you know a great deal about sausages. So to cut a long story short, I want you, as a personal favour to me, to accept a junior brief in the matter. I said to accept a junior brief in the matter. Don't you hear me, Roger?
Yes, Mr. Miller. I was pausing.
It was not the time for a pause, but as you have paused, there's one other matter. I hope you'll forgive my mentioning it to you in person. I know that counsel and solicitors don't usually discuss fees. It's the clerk who deals with them. But this is rather an embarrassing situation, and I'd be grateful for your help.
But, Mr. Merivale, I'm not a...
Don't wait for it, Roger. What I want to know, my dear boy, is if you will very kindly have a word with your clerk in advance and ask him to accept 400 on the brief.
400?
Yeah, I realize it seems rather a lot to ask, but I thought as a personal favor to me, you might possibly be prepared to consider it. Of course, there'd be refreshers. About 100 a day, I should think. And I suppose the case ought to last about 6 weeks, so your total fees in the matter ought to be between 3,000 and 4,000. That's, of course, in the court below. It's bound to go to the Court of Appeal and probably to the House of Lords. Now, my dear boy, will you do it for me?
It's terribly good of you, Miss Merriville. May I think it over?
I beg your pardon. My hearing isn't quite as good as it was. I didn't quite catch what you said.
May I think it over? I want to take advice.
No advice, is it? My advice to you, young man, is to consult the nearest brain specialist. I don't believe that there's any young man at the bar who would have said what you did. I'm sure you have a very fine practice, but there must be days when you don't receive a brief marked 400. I dare say all the briefs marked 100 help to make up for it, but I'm told there aren't as many of those as there used to be. But no doubt... You know best. Do I take it, then, that you are too busy to accept the instructions?
Look, it's a wonderful offer, Mr. Merivale. I'm really most grateful, and I admit the money would be very useful at the moment, but it's such a big thing that I must talk to Grimes about.
If you must, you must. But I can't wait long. I'll come and see you at your chambers the day after tomorrow.
Right, sir. I'll try and see Grimes in the morning.
Well, what is it today, my dear Thursby? Cases? Or canoodling?
Grimes, as a matter of fact, it's a mixture.
Well, you don't mix with your fellow, I've told you that before.
They do this time. Now, there's this case, you see. Now, if I do the case, I'm sure I'll be expected to carry on canoodling.
Only on Friday, I hope.
No, Grant, no. This will be 7 days a week and more than just canoodling.
Thought you didn't.
Didn't what?
Do more than canoodle.
You don't understand.
Oh, I do, my dear fellow. I do. Here. There's a lot of it about nowadays, you know.
A lot of what?
Nastiness.
Ah, but it's not nasty if you're married, is it?
Oh, no, my dear fellow, it's nice if you're married.
Good, that's something.
Yeah. You're not married, are you?
I would be, if I did it.
You mean, you would do it if you were?
No, Grant, no. Oh. I mean, look, I'm afraid I'm putting it very badly.
Yes, you might be in court, my dear fellow.
It's like this, Grant. You know about my, two girlfriends, don't you?
Oh, yes, I'm an expert on that subject, my dear fellow. Let me see, the last call over, I believe Miss Mannering was the odds-on favourite?
Well, I'm afraid the odds have lengthened since then.
Oh, the other filly been showing a turn of speed, eh?
She certainly has. Suddenly producing this action, you see. And the trouble is, when I'm with Joy, we have this thing between us.
Yes. I know, my dear fellow, it happens to all of us.
Ah, but when she's not there, I know that it's Sally I really want to marry.
And where's the difficulty, my dear fellow?
But don't you see, if I do it, I may have to marry Joy.
Well, it's simple, my dear fellow, don't.
Don't marry her?
No, don't do what it is, it'll make you have to marry her. No, it's the things we haven't done we regret most, not the things we have. All the same, my dear fellow, if you don't want to jump the fence, don't get on the horse.
It isn't like that, Grimes.
No case is exactly the same, but that's the point, isn't it?
No, it isn't. I'm afraid I'm still putting things very badly.
Oh, you're clear as usual, my dear fellow.
You see, look, it's because of this patent action.
Which one?
I told you.
Oh, not a word, my dear fellow.
Oh, no, because I didn't know. Well, Joy's uncle has offered me a tremendous
treat. Ah, good for you, my dear fellow. With a leader, I suppose?
There are two leaders and a junior, as a matter of fact.
Well, what are you worried about, my dear fellow? Just try not to get in their way, that's all.
No, look, if isn't that, it's Sally.
Well, her uncle isn't offering you the brief on the other side, I suppose.
No, no, but I know what she'll say when I tell her.
Well,
she'll say that Merivale is just giving me this brief to bribe me to marry Joy.
I wish my wife's uncle had done the same for me. He was a skinflint, my dear fellow. You know, he left £100,000. Sure, he carved up very nicely. You know what he left me? Golf clubs. And he knew I didn't play.
Look, Grant, please, help me. If I get this brief, will I have to marry John?
Well, can't you take the brief and think about it afterwards?
But would that be fair?
Well, life isn't very fair, my dear fellow. Sure, don't worry, you can turn it down.
But I need the money, Grant.
And you still don't want to marry the knight? Despite that, thing you've got between you?
No.
Oh. In fact, you want to have it both ways?
No, I don't. Well, actually...
Yes, actually you do.
Yes, but I do, yes, but I do. Ah, but you see, can I, Grant? I mean, in all honesty, can I have it both ways? That's what I want to ask you.
So you got there at last, have you, my dear fella?
Well, I'm terribly sorry about taking rather a long time.
Oh, it's all right, my dear Thursby. The question is, can you have it both ways? Can you accept the brief but reject the niece?
You put it so clearly, Grant.
Well, somebody had to. Now, has Merivale made it a condition that if you take the brief, you take the girl?
Of course not. He couldn't.
Have you made it a condition that you won't take the girl?
No, it's never been mentioned.
Well, there is no quid pro quo, my dear fellow. No contract, no agreement, written nor verbal. Nothing anyone can do about it if you accepted the brief and married the other girl.
Grant, is that what you think I should do?
Certainly not, my dear fellow. It doesn't matter what I think. This is a question of conscience. It's between you and your maker. And that's one thing I am not, thank the Lord. Goodbye, my dear fellow.
What?
Well, unless you've got any other problems, my dear fellow, perhaps I can get on with some of my own conundrum diddles here.
Conundrum what? I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Brian. Most helpful. Between me and my maker.
And Miss Sally Mannery. Ha-ha! Ignore the ladies at your peril, my dear fellow.
So that's how it is, Sally. Now, what do you say?
It's a lot of money.
Yes.
You'd enjoy having a lot of money.
So would Mother. She's an awful girl.
She may even have to have her telephone cut off. Oh, no. Poor dear. Well, perhaps I could help with that.
Could you really? I'll see you've got it back.
How much?
Well, if you could let me have 30 quid till the end of the month. Well,
what happens at the end of the month? You don't get paid anything at the end of the month, do you?
I don't get paid anything ever. Well, hardly.
Not until you accept this brief.
You think I should accept it, then?
How can you refuse? All that loot and a luscious wife like Joy to boot.
I don't want a luscious wife like Joy to boot. I want to marry you.
Can't afford to marry at all without the Merivale money, can you?
Well, it'd be a tight squeeze. It certainly would, but we'd be off to a flying start if I took this one.
Roger, you couldn't take a bribe to marry one girl and then marry another.
Why not? He can't admit it's a bribe, and there's no agreement, written or verbal. Nothing anyone could do about it if I did. That's what Grimes said.
But it isn't a matter of contract. It's a matter of conscience.
Yes, he said that too. It's between me and my maker. Now, sir, suppose I took the brief and then married you. Do you think my maker would be absolutely furious?
I think he might be a little disapproving. But that is something you'll never find out.
Why not?
Because I wouldn't marry you on those terms.
But how do you know what the terms are?
Isn't it obvious?
No. But why should we all assume it's a bribe? Why shouldn't we assume he's offered me the brief on my merits?
You can assume it if you like, but don't expect me to.
But that's what you said yourself last night.
I wasn't talking about an enormous case like this, and you know it. It's no good, Roger. You can't have it both ways.
Oh. Then what am I to do, Sally? Look, tell me, please.
I can't.
But you always tell me what to do.
It wouldn't be any good unless I gave you my honest advice, would it?
That's what I want.
Well, that's what I can't give. I'm an interested party. I'm biased, prejudiced. All the things a judge shouldn't be.
You'd be a wonderful judge, Sally.
I don't want to be a wonderful judge.
What about being a judge's wonderful wife?
You'll never be a judge, Roger.
Say, you lost all faith in my career.
What career? You'll be far too... You'll be far too busy wallowing in the flesh pots.
Will I?
Won't you?
Wallowing in the flesh pots? I must admit, when you put it like that, it does sound odd tempting.
I knew you wouldn't resist it.
Could you?
I don't know. Fortunately, no one's tempting me.
I am. Let's wallow together, Sally.
When you're married to Joy.
Oh, but I would be. That's the diabolical cunning of it.
Of what?
What I've just thought of. I don't actually marry her, but I don't actually say I won't. We all go on just as we were before. Just the same. Only richer.
Why didn't I think of it before?
Brilliant. It's obvious. You see, just think of it. 400 on the brief, 100 a day for 6 weeks, then the Court of Appeal, the House of Lords. I'll get my mother straight. I'll get a new car, new clothes, buy a few of the old books. And I'll wine and dine you every night of the week. No, sorry, I was forgetting Joy. Every other night. Every other night.
Sorry, Roger, not even every other night on Uncle Alfred's money.
It isn't his money.
Isn't it?
Of course, it's the client's money, Bagley's.
Poor Mr. Bagley, having to fork out all those thousands.
It's an expensive business going to law, thank goodness.
I dare say. Even in litigation, you expect some return for your money. What are you supposed to do in the case?
I'm not sure yet. I'm quite strong. I can carry the books in.
And you're the man who was going to be Lord Chief Justice at 50.
Why not? I bet lots of LCJs started by carrying books.
I bet they didn't have Mr. Bagley paying them thousands to do it.
Well, he won't be paying it, come to think of it, he won't. It'll be the tax man, won't it? Bagley simply deducts the fees from his profits. Unless we win, of course, then the other side pays.
Even tougher on the other side, having to pay for your flesh pots when Bagley's got 3 counsel already.
Well, they shouldn't have pinched Bagley's sausages, then.
Ah. There I agree with you, if they did. Those sausages are unique.
You think so? I think they're rather good.
That's what I mean, Roger. Uniquely good.
Yes, they are, aren't they? Yes, they are. Tell you what, lend me a quid and we'll go out and have a couple. good afternoon. Please sit down, Mr. Merivale. I might manage a cup of tea, but I'm afraid I can't offer you brandy.
Yeah, I don't normally drink brandy at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, don't you? I thought it might be part of the flesh pot routine.
I beg your pardon?
Not at all, not at all. Sorry about that, chair.
Roger, I'm not settling here for the rest of the day. You said you were going to take advice.
And I did, from Grimes and from another interested party. We discussed it at length over a plate of Bagley's unique sausages.
Oh, good, good, splendid. That's what I like to see, a young man who's keen.
Thank you, thank you. Now, do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions?
Not at all, far away.
Supposing, when the case comes to be heard, Sir George Pratt suddenly has a heart attack and falls dead in court. After they remove the body, presumably the next silk would take over.
That's right, Wincasser. And he'd do it well. Not perhaps quite so well as Sir George, but very adequately.
Yeah, now, supposing he suddenly had a heart attack. After they remove the body, the junior, Banks, the real junior, he'd take over then, I suppose.
Yes, quite right, my boy. A very able man, Banks. The best junior at the patent bar. You can go far wrong with him.
But supposing Banks had a heart attack, too?
Supposing he had a heart attack and fell dead. What would happen to the case, do you think, if it were left to me?
That would fall dead, too. But it wouldn't happen. You'd be told to ask for an adjournment. And the judge would take one look at you and grant it.
Then you didn't offer me this brief on my personal merits.
Your personal merits are no doubt very high indeed. But I wouldn't have offered this brief to the late Lord Atkin after he'd only been called 6 months.
Unless Joy had asked you to.
You want the truth, Roger? Cards on the table?
I'd like to know where I stand before I start wallowing in the flesh pots. Yeah.
Then let me tell you, Joy is like a daughter to me. I haven't one of my own, you see, and she means more to me than I can say. I spoilt her, I suppose, but why shouldn't I? When she was a little girl and saw anything in a shop that she wanted, I bought it for her. And that's what I'd done all her life.
And this brief is the same. Like one of those toys you used to buy.
Quite right, my boy. And what's wrong with that?
I can think of one thing. Anyway, it's not for me to preach to you, of course.
I'm glad to hear that, my boy.
I haven't finished. Please. That was a pause. It's not for me to preach to you. But do you think it's right that other people should have to fork out thousands for me to carry in the books? Is it fair on the taxpayer if Baggerleys have to pay my fees? Or on the other side, if they have to?
I'm still waiting.
Ask your question.
No, I thought you followed it up with a pregnant pause. If you'll forgive the use of the term. But since apparently you didn't, let me say first that your scruples do you great credit. And let me reassure you, neither Baggerleys nor the other side will be paying your fees.
You don't mean that you, personally, out of your own pocket?
I do, Roger. I'm a rich man and I can afford it. And I may tell you, I'd spend a good deal more than that to please Joy.
You're very generous, Mr. Merivale.
I'm nothing of the sort. I'm a selfish old man. Make no mistake about it. I'm indulging myself when I buy things for Joy.
Even when you buy things like a husband?
Young man, are you suggesting that I'm trying to bribe you to marry my niece?
Are you pausing, or shall I answer?
I'll answer myself. You're quite right, I am. And not only with one brief, Roger. There'll be plenty more to follow.
I'll certainly keep fit, carrying all those books.
Just possible you'll be fit to do your own cases one day.
If I can spare the time from those flishbots.
If not, don't worry. I'll brief someone else to do the cases properly and pay you out of my own pocket.
Wouldn't it be simpler just to give me an allowance?
If I did, you couldn't claim expenses and earn income relief now, could you?
You think of everything.
And when I die, you will find there's enough in my will to keep you both in comfort. There you are, my boy. All the cards are on the table now.
What do you say?
Mr. Merivale, I don't know how to thank you. I think it must be the most marvellous offer anyone ever had. All that loot and a luscious wife like Joy. To boot.
At last. Come and sit down, Roger, and I'll give you a drink. I thought you were never coming.
I didn't. Then I thought, well, one last evening together.
Oh. It's like that, is it?
Yes, that's the way it is. Goodbye to all that.
You mean, goodbye forever?
Only to overdo it. We can still meet occasionally. No more cosy evenings, though. You opening a tin of beans and me asking you to marry me. Nope. Now, it's career first. First, and the rest, nowhere.
Career?
But did you remember what I told you? When was it? 2 or 3 months ago. Take silk at 30, on the bench at 40, and Lord Chief Justice at 50. It's a tight schedule. Very tight. It'll mean work. And no canoodling, even on Friday.
Joy's not going to like that.
What's he going to do with her?
She'll be your wife, won't she?
You don't think I accepted Merivale's offer?
What?
I told him to get lost.
You didn't.
Oh, dear, I told him to get stuck. Well, I didn't know so many words. Not like that. I was very polite. I thanked him and profusely and turned him down flat.
Roger, all that money.
But I can do without it till the real briefs start rolling in.
But what about your mother?
I'll sell the car. I won't have time to use it anyway.
But you adore that car.
I adore mother, too.
And I adore you. Roger, darling, will you marry me?
What?
Well, now you're not so keen, I suddenly can't wait.
Blimey, aren't you worried about Joy anymore?
No, darling. If you don't want her with 5,000 a year, you don't want her without. So what do you say?
Take your trousers off.
What?
Wait for it. I was pausing. Take those trousers off and put on a skirt. I'm taking you out to dinner. And where we're going, they don't let women in trousers.
Sounds terribly grand and expensive.
Why not? We don't get engaged every day, do we? Sally, darling, I'm going to wine you and dine you as you've never been wined and dined before. That is,
Yes, darling?
That is, if you could manage to lend me a tenner just till the end of the month.
In that final episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Briers. Grimes, John Glenn Jones. Sally, Julia Lockwood. Joy, Bridget Armstrong. Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson. Merivale, Dennis Ramsden. Brief offer was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch.